The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday, Lord, 23 October 2017, along with Ron McDonald. That says they all peed on the fires out in California and put them out.
That's how it went down.
Man, tell me.
Well, how's the finances doing, John?
Oh, well, funny you should bring that up. A lot more people are getting the idea that they need to donate to the network. And yes, we need your support. You know, it amazes me that I'll sit back and I'll watch Free Speech TV. Do you have that on your television system out there?
Yeah, we do.
Have you ever noticed the program lineup?
Not necessarily. I don't necessarily watch it.
I know you don't watch it, but take a look at it. It is one progressive socialist program after another. The Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! And the Tom Hartman Show, and on and on and on it goes. You know, some are a little bit more over the top than others. What's the other one? Gosh, I can't think of her name. She sits there in a chair with a hat on, does her own little special effects, and has goofy people, her supporting cast for a radio show that contribute next to nothing. It's amazing to sit there and watch all this money being burned up over absolutely nothing. And, you know, people out there are willing to support that kind of thing. And I think we're the best that's out there. And either people are going to support us or we won't be here. That's the bottom line. And by the way, I didn't hear that commercial last hour. The new one?
I heard it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was on. Okay. With one voice meshes into another.
Yes, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what we didn't include in that, and we wanted all the talk show hosts that plays once an hour, is to remind people where they can donate. They can go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, hit the donate button. That gives you a PayPal page. Don't have to be a member of PayPal to do so, and you can use any credit card. I think any credit card that's out there, they'll accept it. Here at the network, we can take Discovery, Visa, and MasterCard. But we're limited to just three there. So if you want to call in with a donation on that, you can call 800-724-2719, hit extension 3, and you can talk to Mikey and be happy to take your donation. Or our address here, you simply have to address it, RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we need your support now. I've got one bill I got to retire. I'm 3 months down on the internet. They're threatening to shut us off. They shut the internet down, the whole network goes down. So just saying, folks, just saying. You know, we're over here pedaling as fast as we can. I just had a recent person make an inquiry about, they got a wonderful product line, sent me this nice email, and I responded back, and he hung up on me. So I called the toll-free number for the online store, and I talked to his wife. And I went, this is kind of odd. I said, why would your husband spend the time sending me an email, and when I call him, he hangs up? Oh, well, he's very busy. And I go, okay, well, she, oh, well, detail out, send me an email. I haven't sent the email yet, but point being that advertisers are few and far in between. Everybody's clutching the dollars that they see slipping through their fingers. And I look at it this way. We got to keep the supply line going for as long as we can keep fighting this war. If not, you'll be stuck with Amy Goodman and, well, the other alternative media out there that, well, I'll just let it go with that. But thank you for inquiring. And if you folks notice, we don't even do giveaways anymore. Okay, we used to send you this, a little that, or a little that. We don't even do that anymore because we don't have the money to do it. So, hey, donate, folks. I just talked about being in arrears with one bill for 3 months. How long do you think that's going to last? Mike, are we still on here? Oh, okay. We're still here. Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy.
Hey, John. You know, I'm a little distraught about this entire conversation between Trump and this woman. And, you know, no disrespect, but this is a black woman. How many people in that four group that died were black?
Four group? Andy, I don't... Give me a little bit more information.
Well, I can't remember if there was another black person on there, but even if there was, that's better for Trump. The thing is that I do believe another station, a GCN channel, actually played the entire recorded conversation of the phone call, and how this gentleman got it, I don't know. But there was no indication of this woman being distraught whatsoever. She was quite, you know, receiving to everything that Donald Trump said to her. And
well, and like I said, Andy, I mean, why would the president of the United States call somebody else, call somebody up just to stick their foot in their mouth? It made absolutely no sense. And I'd seen stories written about, is this a setup? Well, there didn't seem to be a problem until this critter in Florida decided to make it political. And I'm sure she convinced, you know, the people, the recipient of that call, that, you know, you have a greater calling here. You can really do some good with this. So let's politicize it. Let's make it a black-white issue.
Well, I also think there's something else there. You know, the insurance for a dead soldier is, you know, minimal, 150, maybe 200,000, depending on the rank or whatever, I guess. And these people probably, ABC, I watched the interview, and this woman, A, she didn't even look like, to me, a wife. She looked like perhaps an actor, and she didn't even sound like the woman I heard in the recorded voice or whatnot. But whatever it was, perhaps this woman got paid more to come on there and say this. And having said that, they're trying to depict this guy as a racist, and at the same time, they're trying to say that he was a draft dodger using McCain, who was a total sellout in Vietnam and did whatever they
actually
wanted him to do.
Actually, that could be classified with aiding and abetting the enemy, and that's a treasonable offense, especially if you're in uniform.
Exactly.
Last time Kelly ran, I think, what, in Arizona? It looks like she's going to get the Senate seat out there to displace Mr. McCain, hopefully. I wasn't too brokenhearted. I'm not totally insensitive to people in their pain, but when I heard that John McCain had brain cancer, I was almost relieved, you know?
Well, you know what? And when David Rockefeller dumped off the ship, I wasn't crying a tear.
No, and I'm waiting for Henry to drop off the flat Earth myself.
I can't wait till that guy goes. And you know what? I don't know what is afterlife, John, but I'll tell you what. I hope it's just brutal as hell for people like those people. I don't know, but I hope it is. You have a good night, sir.
Do me a favor, Andy. Hang on. I'm going to put you on hold here. And
okay.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks for your call.
All right, sir.
In the meantime, let me take Dennis in New York, Mike. Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I am, John.
How
good
you
to
doing?
Hear you back on the air. And
thank you, sir.
Yeah, I knew something was up and didn't hear you two nights in a row there.
Yeah, and I did make a big deal out of this. People thought I was sloughing off and... I was just, you know, just taking extra time because I could. Or, no, it wasn't anything like that.
I also have to say hello to Ron McDonald, because I remember calling once when the three of you guys were on the air, you and him and Mike, and Mike was busting his chops a little bit about, hi, Ron McDonald, because I neglected to say hello to him. So I apologize, Ron.
Oh, no problem whatsoever, Dennis.
You know, Steve Elkin has moved down to Florida now.
Yes.
He's probably looking for some permanent digs down there.
Yes.
I had given Mike some of my contact information, and I might have something that I could throw his way, some info that might help him out a lot. Only by God's grace that I found something down there that...
he's in a particular geographic area because he's got family down there, and I think
I'm not sure where the area is, but I know he talked about Central Florida.
Right.
Yeah, Clearwater and Safety Harbor area is not that far from there. If he would consider it, you can have him contact me.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Dennis. Let me do this. I'll take you down here, and I'll get your phone number.
Yeah, I think I'd given it to you once. We were talking about something about 9/11. So
yes, and...
I sent you an email, too.
Well, I appreciate that.
One more thing I want to say, John, you know? try not to kick a dead horse. Remember, we talked about this Las Vegas thing, and let's wait and see what happens?
Yeah.
And it just kind of dawned on me. You know, as a kid, I grew up reading Sherlock Holmes. And I think Sherlock Holmes will look at this whole thing, especially with this Campos guy, and say, wait a second. This guy was at the murder scene, the last person who might have been there under dubious circumstances, and there's a dead man in the room, and he was on the floor.
Well, and he I guess, if you can believe the Internet, he made a public appearance on... Ellen Degenerate show, or I'm sorry, Degenerous show, but he panicked and supposedly had a health issue, and he had all kinds of stuff scheduled.
Well, for a guy who got shot in the leg, he was leaning forward awfully. I know I've been injured before, and for me to be injured in a leg, to be leaning forward on that leg on a talk show, and he showed any signs of pain, and my whole thing is looking at this whole, it seems... You know, sometimes the most simple solutions are right in front of our noses. You know?
Occam's razor.
You know,
and you mentioned Sherlock Holmes. You know, this, what we're being given, is like an investigation done by Dr. Watson, which was always the fuddy-duddy that was always talking to himself. And he wasn't the brains. Sherlock could he solve any case even before he looked at most of the evidence. But this seems like a Dr. Watson that's running the investigation out in Vegas. And what we're getting from the Las Vegas Police Department is they were disagreeing with the FBI findings and what the FBI was releasing. And have you noticed, Dennis, how the mainstream media, with the biggest tragedy, gun tragedy that ever happened in the United States, they've all walked away from the story?
Yeah, wow. My own personal opinion on it today is this. There may have been some people killed, or there may have been some bodies that were utilized from a morgue. A lot of the stuff that's out there is misinformation, disinformation, and I think this is all part of the gun the gun plot to take away our guns.
Well, but the problem, the point that I'm trying to make here, Dennis, if this was a false flag, they screwed it up so bad they can't even use it for the anti-gun issue.
Vegas is one step away from Hollywood. You know, you got all the pretty boy cops out there, and everybody's looking glamorous. I've been out there. The women out there are... I would describe them as they have sharp teeth. Yes,
it's things that happen in Vegas stay in Vegas. It's a very plastic town. Very, very plastic. It's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, I knew people who lived out there and wound up you know, well, it speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, as I'm looking at, is that it seems like a very simple solution. We have somebody who was at the, if a house gets burglarized and a guy's walking out of the house, well, most cops would grab him and say, this must be the burglar. We have one fellow that's on the floor, and the guy's been murdered inside of the hotel room, and it's like they're so tied up in this whole thing, unless they're all in on it together, and he may have been just one of the agents that were involved in it. It may not have even been any shots fired from that room.
Well, and the point about this, I want people to take away from it. It's a narrative that fell apart rather quickly. And what a perfect tool. You know, what did they use to ban guns down in Australia? You know, a mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they got legislation passed down there to restrict, well, just basically restrict people from owning firearms to begin with, period. And if we got an anti-gun lobby in this country, and they were depending on this to gain traction for maybe eventual weapons confiscation, they sure as hell blew it.
And it's also another distraction,
yep,
away from the Russia one, the uranium one thing.
By the way, thanks for bringing it up. Do me a favor, Mike, take Dennis down. Thank you for your call, Dennis. I appreciate it.
All right, good to hear you again,
okay,
John.
Thank you, sir. Take his number. I'm going to put him in touch with Steve. At any rate, let me just get through these calls. Let me go to Mike in Colorado. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, John. Hey, Ron. If it's Monday, it's Mike in Colorado. part of how you know Vegas was, like, fake or not staged or false flag, we had a massacre, a Ludlow massacre, in 1914, April 20th, funded by the Rockefellers, where they used the Colorado National Guard to get rid of the mining strike.
Yes.
There was something to gain tangibly by killing people, and these last 4 or 5 or 20 events that we could all go through and pick out and look on the internet, the only thing they're trying to gain is your mind and to gain the fact that they're in charge now and you're going to have to do what they say. And I think it's really kind of disturbing to me.
Well, and what's happening here, anytime that something like this happens or a politician high enough up the food chain starts making noises about restricting this, that, or the other, all it does is increase gun sales and ammunition sales.
Because they're not that smart, are they?
Well,
cause and effect. They're trying to get guns, but all they're doing is causing more gun sales.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I don't think in this country, not in this generation, not as long as you and I are alive, are Americans going to be willing to give up their guns.
Not going to happen.
Now,
we have been
described as being a gun culture. Europe, and especially England, they're just absolutely fascinated by our Wild West and how guns were used to win the West and kill the Indians and all that stuff. But they look at us as being just wild, unfettered gun people. And
there are people from our East Coast who come to Colorado that think I ride a horse. I kid you not. I worked for a national company, and we had a big thing in Las Vegas, and they all came out, and they said, yeah, I'm Mike from Colorado. And they're like, do you still have horses?
Do you know what was fascinating to me when I went to Colorado several years ago, talking to Colorado people? There was a lot of Texans out there.
Oh, we're inundated.
Well, and there was this attitude that they really didn't appreciate Texans. You know, they didn't.
No, because you guys blew up our economy.
How'd we do that?
Brought all the oil money, raised all the housing prices, just like the Californians are doing now. I got one more quick thing. Is it possible to hold?
After that comment, no. No, I'm just teasing. Hang on, Mike. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Mike, you still there?
I'm still here, sir. So here's real quick on the Texas thing. In the mid to late 80s, when the oil bust happened, our economy fell apart in the Denver metro area because we dabble in oil. We don't really, we're not a big, giant oil producer. And a lot of jobs left. And then when Texas started to go down, they brought their cash and they bought up all the good stuff. And the people who lived there couldn't afford to buy that stuff. So there was a little bit of resentment. And I don't think it was justified, but it was. And so we kind of hung that moniker on Texas.
Yeah, unfairly.
It's not that way now.
Unfairly. You know, do you remember the days where the auto industry was kicking and, well, there's a lot of people coming up here from Texas, you know. And then when the oil thing and it would flip-flop around, you know, it's demographics and somebody, one man's floor, I'll put it this way, one man's floor is another man's ceiling.
Good point. And yeah. And we're always a little bit jealous because Texas is—they've got Republic in their own in your own stuff—and we sold out way before you know everybody else did. But the other thing I wanted to hold over for, if I can get six people who have never called, who listen to your show, who will call in—they don't even have to talk; they just have to say I'm a new caller and hang up. I'm going to donate $25 six times, either through a new caller. Or for a new donation.
Oh, well, there you go. 150.
Is that fair?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, let's see if that happens.
All right.
Come on, you guys. Call in John. Call in Ron. Ask Ron a question. He's got legal knowledge out the wazoo.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah. what did he say out the wazoo?
Yes. I've heard that term so many times. What is it anyway?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what is a wazoo?
I have an idea.
Well, yeah.
I don't want the visualization to go along with the idea, but I do have an idea.
My saintly 5'1¼" Sicilian mother used to tell me some things that I would just look at it and go, okay, Mom. <You know? laughs> And then when I finally found out what Mabakage Juwani meant, I go, oh, boy. Anybody out there that speaks Italian, you know what I just said. Thank goodness I don't speak it. Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, my wife, son, daughter, and daughter-in-law have never called before, so I'm going to donate $100. So if Mike in Colorado could match that, that'll be perfect.
Okay. How you want to make the donation, Wayne?
I will do that tomorrow with a money order.
Thank you very much. Did you hear that, Mike in Colorado? All right.
Wow. Hey, a couple of things. I had a question for Ron, but one comment about the Las Vegas thing. I believe if this thing was truly legitimate, we would have Schumer, Pelosi, and the rest of them on TV every hour on the hour screaming about gun control. And they're about as quiet as church mouses over this whole thing. So, and the usual suspects aren't out there screaming bloody murder. It sure seems to me like there's a lot more questions.
But Wayne, what was really perfect, who was it? Feinstein came out last week and says, gun control measures wouldn't have stopped what happened in Vegas. I went, wow. Wow. Dianne Feinstein said that?
Moment of clarity. Who knew?
Yeah.
But, something for Ron. We have a little group, and we talk about the nature of lawyers and the legal craft all the time. And, one thing we've come to a particular consensus on is that, lawyers essentially aren't licensed by a state like a doctor or a dentist are. In fact, I think it's prohibited by, I think there's a Supreme Court decision that is involved in that for prohibiting it. And then the state bar is mainly a private corporation. It's not, really tied to a government per se. And these bar cards they tend to use as their license is really more like a union card. And what I'm trying to get to the bottom of is when a lawyer engages you, Ron, do you have any particular tactics you like to use, or don't we have a right to question even their capability or authority to even enter our affairs at all?
Yeah, you actually do. In the state of California, we have what's called the Business and Professions Code, and in that code it says that every lawyer must have a license, and on the back of the license, a copy of his oath. Well, there's no such animal in California, so to defeat a lawyer in his knowledge base, I should take a step back. You will find that an attorney, and they're called attorneys, not lawyers. Lawyers are different than attorneys.
Ron, hang on 1 second. Wayne, if you would, hold on through the bottom of the hour break. We'll take this break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, we are back, Ron McDonald, and the question for Ronald Wayne was what?
I'm trying to figure out how we can challenge the legitimacy of a lawyer or attorney or whoever when they try to drag us into their world of unconstitutional private law, which I think is what their statutory codes and color of law type stuff, so...
Well, it depends on, as I said, in the state of California, they're supposed to be licensed, and on the license, on the reverse of the license, supposed to have their oath. Well, there's no such thing, no such animal. And I assume it's the same throughout every state, but they are on the roll call of the Supreme Court clerk. So if you're going to check out an attorney, that's how you would do it. However, understanding the very nature of an attorney is that an attorney is an officer of the court, and I mean that in its literal sense, that the superior officer would be the judge, and they are the inferior officer. They have to uphold the court first. That's their primary duty, is to uphold the integrity of the court first, and you come down the totem pole about third in line on that. So the only way that you can really affect an attorney, if you hire one, and I know you're probably talking about being prosecuted by a district attorney or something, but if you hire one, every instruction you tell your attorney when you're in his office, you must certify a letter to him restating that, because your intention is to get him on malpractice for not following your instruction. He is your mouthpiece.
Well, and I was going to say, Wayne, that you know, no O's on the back of their little bar card licenses, what are they going to admit to? That we're just in due course holders of the administrative state?
Well, I understand that, but I think we have the right to challenge any kind of authority they
no,
might
No, I'm not challenging what you're saying. I'm just adding yeah. that to the conversation.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand. But I'm yeah. saying I think we have the right through notice and demand or something like that to challenge their legitimacy through, like Ron says, where's their license? Where's their oath? You know, who are these people? And, you know, if they're behind the scenes of, like, a code enforcer coming to, you know, wreak havoc on you and your property, then... Yeah, I feel like we had the right to yeah. challenge the
well,
whole thing.
Well, Wayne, first you must understand who you are in relation to that attorney. Do you have rights? Do you have unalienable rights? Do you have wealth? Do you actually have money? Do you have what do you have? And we could go all the way back to Document 62 that was passed in 1933 saying that you don't own any property. You merely get the use of it, and you get taxed for using property. And that means everything. So your relationship and all this jurisdiction that we're talking about, you really don't count. You're a subject. And you're a subject because we know the United States is a corporation, and they can't have flesh and blood, so they have subjects. And you've been named as a citizen of the United States. You're a subject. And you fall suit to all this agency law, attorneyship, and everything else. It's a sticky situation.
Well, my
not that you can't get out of
it. Subject to it. Yeah, my all-caps name is subject to it, but not me, the living soul, right?
Well... not as a human being, you're not, but you have to step outside, and there's certain things that you have to do in order to prove who you are. You know, the gold coin has a lot of intrinsic value to it, and it actually is your property. Understanding the nature of wealth and the common law, and that's the lawful part of this country, versus the legal law. You know, legalese is nothing but form. It has no substance whatsoever. It's the form of something. The lawful side of it, and I'll give you an example. Your dollar bill is a legal bill. It has no substance. It's a piece of paper. You know, it's thin air, whatever. It has nothing backing it. However, a gold coin has both form and substance. It has both the qualities of what real wealth is and what the common law is. So we're in a real big mess, and it's going to take time for people to understand and educate themselves on who we are in relation to that right. attorney, to that court, to whatever.
Well, I think 99 lawyers out of 100 wouldn't even have the knowledge you have, Ron. So I guess what I'm trying to do is on, you know, in just a little turf battle here, if I had to, you know, challenge one, I would like to, yeah. Again, go right after their qualifications, like you,
yeah.
like you
well,
said.
Yeah, go to the business professions codes in your state. Ours is 6,068 and goes on. And in there, you'll see everything they're supposed to do. It actually gives you, it's actually a map that tells you what directions they're supposed to go and you know, when they're having a client. And if they don't follow those directions, they're subject to suit.
Sure. Got it.
See, if everyone did a certified letter to their attorney with the instructions, you know how many malpractice suits there would be going on today?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a great idea.
I appreciate your call, Wayne. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, people look at the cops as being the enforcers for the administrative state. Well, they're just the people that throw handcuffs on you and throw you in a hoosegow. But the real sock puppets for the administrative state are the attorneys.
Yeah.
Both defense and prosecutorial guys. By the way, I wanted to mention this before I got into that article about the black dilemma. Remember that tax problem? I had sent you over the paperwork?
Yes, yes.
Well, it's...
Your property taxes on your personal items, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the business. Yeah. They call it the business property tax. Well, the lawyer that sent me that was threatening foreclosure of my business, it was what, a $900 bill?
Something like that, yes.
Well, I talked to him last week, and I just told him, I said, you know, I said I was after Williamson County to give me a breakdown of what these taxes were for. I said they couldn't answer the question. and you're an attorney for them, all of a sudden it shows up where these taxes were going, you know, and what portions would go to the schools and this, that, and the other. And I said, you know, I said, this is rather fascinating. I said, I don't know if anybody's noticed the Great Depression that we're in. I said, but I half the office space is gone. Half the machines are gone. And I says, the taxation on business, what you guys are calling business machines here, I said, most of this stuff was around before Hector was even thought about being a pup. And, well, magically, I got a letter in the mail with a new bill. All of a sudden, the $900 disappeared. My new tax bill is $103 for 6 months.
Now, let me ask you a question. How do they calculate that?
Well,
see, they can be wrong on their calculations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the flaw.
And that's what I said to this attorney. But actually, he was working for Williamson County, and he called over to the tax assessment office and said, hey, you know, I don't think this guy owes the taxes. And boom, they sent me a new bill. So,
nice.
It's like, yeah, taxation without representation. Yeah. By the way, Merriam-Webster says that wazoo is slang for Uranus, and I'm not talking about the planet.
That's why I said no visualization from this end.
Yeah, and
I'll visualize it.
And guess what? Uranus is Mike. What did you say about this? It's retrograde rotation. And I think it's the one planet that it's on its side. Its poles, not like the Earth, you know, kind of north and south. They're actually east and west. And the damn thing rotates backwards, which is really an oddball thing in our little corner of the universe. Just one of those fun factoids, kind of like hemorrhoids, you know, the things you really don't want around but are there. Anyhow.
Great show, John.
Oh boy, here we go again. I want to read something and I can't read a damn thing. Oh boy. Ah. Is that a caller? Just put him up. No, I'm sorry, what? No, I didn't. Matthew in Louisiana. Why did you ask me if I talked to him? You forgot. Well, don't forget. Any rate. There was another one. Okay. Well, Ron, talk until my vision clears up here.
Oh, geez. How long? Well, let's talk about your vision. How long does the episode last with you?
Well, it depends. It sometimes comes and goes in a few minutes, and sometimes it sticks around for a half hour.
You get headaches or anything with it?
I've had headaches since last Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about this is the more pressure I'm under, the more tension it causes, and it exacerbates the situation. So, you know, it's fun times, man. It's just...
Well, that's a given, isn't it? When you're under stress, those things that are weakest on your body will give way. Basically. Oh. So what is this device that you're talking about with 25 pounds of weight? You can put up to 25 pounds of water in it.
It's like hanging yourself without breaking your neck. Just imagine that there is weight pulling in the opposite direction of gravity. And you put this little collar around your neck, and the weight of the water actually elongates your neck to relieve tension, pop everything back in. If there's pressure on nerves, it relieves that.
Wow. Do you have one yet? Or
no, I'm going to get one. I'm definitely going to get one.
Now, let's talk about your mental condition since we're talking about your physical one.
Well, I'm sure if this keeps going on, it's going to kill something, brain cells or something. I don't know. But at any rate, let me see if I can get through this. For almost 150 years, the United States has been conducting an experiment. Oh, it helps if I get closer to the screen. Oh, here we go. The subjects of the experiment, black people and working class whites. The hypothesis to be tested, can a people taken from the jungles of Africa and forced into slavery be fully integrated as citizens in a majority white population? Now, this sounds like a racist piece, but it's really not. The whites were descendants of Europeans who created a majestic civilization. The former slaves had been tribal peoples with no written language and virtually no intellectual achievements, acting on a policy that was not fair to either group. The government released newly freed black people into a white society that saw them as being inferiors. America has struggled with racial discord ever since. Decade after decade, the problems persisted, and the experimenters never gave up. They insisted that if they could find the right formula, the experiment would work, and concocted program after program to get the result that they wanted. They created a Freedmen's Bureau, passed civil rights law. I never heard of Freedmen's Bureau. Passed civil rights laws, tried to build a great society, declared war on poverty, ordered race preferences, built housing projects, and tried midnight basketball. Their new laws intruded into people's lives in ways that would have been otherwise unthinkable. They called in the National Guard troops to enforce school integration. They outlawed freedom of association. Over protest of parents, they put white children on buses and sent them to black schools and vice versa. They tried with money, special programs, relaxed standards, and endless hand-wringing to close the achievement gap. To keep white backlash in check, they began punishing public and private statements on race. They hung up Orwellian business banners and commanded whites to celebrate diversity and say no to racism. Nothing was off limits, and it might salvage the experiment. Now, some thought that Webb Du Bois, called the Talented Tenth, would lead the way for black people. A group of elite, educated blacks would knock down the doors and of opportunity and show the world what blacks were capable of. There is a Talented Tenth, but they are the black Americans who have become entrepreneurs, lawyers, doctors, and scientists. But 10% is not enough. For the experiment to work, the 10% has to be followed by a critical mass of people that can hold middle-class jobs and promote social stability. That is what is missing. Through the years, too many black people continue to show an inability to function and prosper in a culture unsuited to them. Detroit is bankrupt. The south side of Chicago is a war zone. And majority black cities all over America are beset by degeneracy and violence. And blacks never take responsibility for their failures. Instead, they lash out in anger and resentment. Across the generations and across the country, we have seen in Detroit, Watts, Newark, Los Angeles, Cincinnati, now Ferguson, rioting and looting are just one racial incident away. Now remember, folks, this is written back in September of 2014. The white elite would tell us this doesn't mean the experiment has failed. We just have to try harder. We need more money, more time, more understanding, more programs, more opportunities. But nothing changes no matter how much money is spent, no matter how many laws are passed, no matter how many black geniuses are portrayed on TV, and no matter who is president. Some argue it's a problem of culture, as if culture creates people's behavior instead of the other way around. Others blame white privilege. But since 1965, when the elites opened America's doors to the Third World, immigrants from Asia, India, people who are not white, not rich, and not connected, have quietly succeeded. While the children of those people are winning spelling bees and getting top scores on SAT, black youths are committing half the country's violent crime, which includes viciously punching, folks remember this, it was cool to be small black crowd and going around punching white people and knocking them out. They called it the knockout game. Random white people on the streets for the thrill of it, and it has nothing to do with poverty. The experiment has failed not because of culture or white privilege or racism. The fundamental problem is that white people and black people are a little bit different. They differ intellectually and temperamentally. These differences result in permanent social incompatibility. Now, our rulers don't seem to understand just how tired their white subjects are to this experiment. They don't understand that white people aren't out to get black people. They are just exhausted with them. They are exhausted by social pathologies, the violence, the endless complaints, the blind racial solidarity, the bottomless pit of grievances, the excuses, the reflexive animosity. The elites explain everything with racism and refuse to believe that white frustration could soon reach the boiling point. Last sentence in this article, they will be the only ones who are surprised when real revolution comes to the United States, and that is white people who lead the revolt. Now, this is very interesting because a lot of what is in that article is 100% fact. I've looked at this problem, Ron, for a number of years, and I've mentioned how many programs were created, you know, how much money is spent. But if you take a look at the areas that are of the most egregious, who are the leaders? Blacks, supposedly more in touch with what the black community needs, but they're not telling them that you have to be responsible for yourselves. Yeah, we can give you a handout or we can give you a hand up, but we're not here to take care of you cradle to grave. And, you know, to this day, in this country, folks, I have never looked at blacks as being inferior or whatever. I've looked at it as government programs. Who the hell wants to turn down freebies? And it was constructed in such a way that, you know, well, we'll give you more money if you have more babies, but, you know, you can't have a black man in the family. So we have more blacks giving birth to more black babies and being on the dole or government assistance that they have become dependent on. And, you know, when this whole Black Lives Matter thing started, you know, I immediately said, all lives matter. White lives matter, black lives matter. But you have to act as if your life does matter. And that's taking responsibility. This is the one thing that the supposed black leaders have not done. They have not come out and said, look, you know, there might be a little racial prejudice or there might be a little disadvantage, but you know what? It comes down to you to be responsible for what you do with your own life. And now you're starting to see this boil over in the NFL. Now, I'll tell you what effect this is having in the NFL, that 70% of the players in this league, and there are 32 teams, folks, 32 teams now, 70% of the players are black. You didn't see the white people sitting in the stands when a black player would make a play and going, oh, that N guy out there, you know, he's one of them, but man, that was a good play. No, they rooted for a team because they were part of a team effort, both black and white, trying to achieve something. And that was how many points you have at the end of the one-hour period, and the one with the most points wins. Now they're creating the racial divide within the ranks of the NFL. And you know what's happening? That the majority of the people that go to football games, that watch it on TV, they were white. And now they're starting to walk away. And for the first time, you know, I've been a Lions fan for a number of years. You know what? I don't care. I've gotten to the point where I can't even sit down and watch a Lions game, win, lose, or draw. And they've been big losers for a number of years. But I'm not even interested in watching them. And this is going on across the board, and it's only getting worse. Now, natural progression of this, we've had one NFL player, and forgive me, I forget his name, last week saying, hey, I quit. Well, okay then. What else are you equipped to do? Do you have your doctorate or do you have your degrees? You know, why were you recruited out of college? Because you were a brainiac or you had physical abilities that fit in with the NFL and you could go from college to go to the NFL and make millions of dollars. The NFL is set to destroy itself. And people are voting with their pocketbooks. Across the board, it's 15% and growing in ticket sales, TV viewership. People have just had enough of this stuff. So I thought it important to read that. And that came out of the American Renaissance. That was posted September 23rd, 2014, 3 years ago. But it said in that thing what I've been saying all along. You know,
What was the title of the article?
10% is not enough. 10% is not enough.
You know, while you were reading that, and I'm thinking about it, you know, the barricades, I don't know, the self-barricades that we put up on ourselves, why we have a problem in the black community. I'm thinking about the psychology of it, and Carl Jung, stipulates the collective consciousness, you know. So if you bring a people from kind of an uneducated society over in Africa and bring them over here, can you change the collective consciousness? Can you change the inner?
Yes. Yes.
You think so?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do think so. Yes, I do believe that. It is environment. It is environment that helps shape the person, which he then discovers his abilities, and he takes advantage of them. He becomes responsible. He cleaves to what he can do the best. And he runs with it. You know, I've heard all the arguments over the years. Well, you know, blacks use 10% less of their brain than whites do. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, didn't I once hear that human beings only use 80% of their brain or something? You know, it's environment. I am firmly convinced it is environment.
Well, it shoots a hole in Carl Jung's.
It certainly does, doesn't it? I'm not a Jungian kind of guy. When I was a kid, I used to read all that stuff. I'm surprised you brought him up. Let me squeeze one more call in here. Tom in Philadelphia. Hello, Tom.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
As far as that little traction unit, hi, Ron, by the way. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Tom.
All right. I have one of those traction units, but not like yours. Mine, I lay on the floor, and I lay on this plate, and then it has a piece of Velcro grows around my forehead, and then I have a little hand pump, and I pump, and it pulls my head away from my shoulders and opens up the space between your vertebrae and your neck, and then you release it, you open it, you release it. What it does is it allows the fluid in your spinal fluid to go in and out and in and out. It also moves the spinal cord apart a little bit, so if there's any kind of garbage in there, like a little piece of calcium or something, they can move and float away out of there, so they're not pinching the nerves.
Right.
But it really works well. I've been going to chiropractor for probably 4 years, and
only
one of my family doesn't have stenosis.
You know what you're describing there? They had years ago. They call it the rack.
Yeah. Well, when I go to the chiropractor, they actually have a table you lay on, and it's automated. It pulls away. It holds for like 10 seconds, then
yeah,
it releases,
and then releases,
and then it pulls. It's really good. If you can find somebody with that, it's great.
All right, hey,
but,
appreciate your call, man.
I don't trust a chiropractor that doesn't crack you.
Appreciate your call. Thanks, Tom. Folks, I had an episode on the air, and I had to wait a few minutes before I could read something. It's the pressure, folks. It's the unremitting pressure. Make a donation. Relieve some of John's pressure so he doesn't get up out of this chair and walk into a wall. Give us a call here, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Make a donation. Mike would be happy to talk to you. Or go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Hit the donate button at the top of that page. That takes you to the PayPal page. You do not have to be a member, okay? And people are not there hawking who's making donations to the network. So if you're super paranoid, don't worry about it. Make a donation. You can use any credit card you want. Here at the network, we can take PayPal, or I'm sorry, we can take MasterCard, Visa, and Discover. We can also take Discover, but those are the three cards we can run at the network. But if you go up to republicbroadcasting.org, our address is there as well. Ron McDonald, thank you, my friend.
Hey, always a pleasure, John.
All right, how close are we to that book?
We're close.
Okay, very good. Thanks again, Ron.
Okay.
And thank you all for being here today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.